Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. It's a Friday. It's the 6th of March, so translation, almost everyone is broke. So it's one of those Fridays where we all behave.
Why are we celebrating the brokenness of much of Namibia?
Because we behave when we are broke. Have you seen us with money?
Oh, then we act civil.
Well, we are more like uncivilized when we have money.
No one is doing reckless purchases. No one is doing reckless KFC purchases.
All of a sudden you have appetite for home-cooked meals.
And 2-minute noodles.
Yeah.
And regular bread with margarine.
I know. It's just one of those home run opening. But let's talk about research and... basically, yesterday we were talking about the African Union, the EU-AU research collabo that's going to basically mostly financed by the European Union, and is going to be running for 7 years, and it's covering all sectors. And when I say all sectors, I mean all sectors.
Yeah.
But you'll have to go basically to all ends to prove that, what you're venturing into has some kind of results at the end of the day in terms of productivity. And now, today we decided to basically zone in on one country, that's Namibia. Because yesterday it was more African Union, African Union, European Union, 27 countries plus 55. Countries that collab, but today we're just looking at we're still in a research, but just looking at Namibia's research infrastructure, because it all starts from there. Because in one thing that was pointed out, one thing that we also pointed out yesterday was that in the African Union, European Union discussion, one thing that was pointed out is just how important the infrastructure is, especially if you're talking about if you're going to look at research. You need the state of the art.
Did you see the facilities at the back of the report that I sent you?
Unfortunately, yes.
Did you see what kind of facilities these were? Some of them, I think, were like basic classrooms.
Look,
with tables and chairs.
I wasn't shocked. Wasn't it about 2-3 years ago when it was revealed that the public, the public health sector in Namibia only has one mammogram. A breast cancer scanning machine. One that have outlived its lifespan, and it
multiple
was,
times, multiple
times, and it wasn't even bought; it was donated, I think, by the Cancer Association of Namibia.
Yeah,
and
this is the public sector one.
Yeah,
this is not even to say it's not even to say the whole country; it's the public sector one.
Compare that with the with the number of people that the public health the public health sector have to serve.
Yeah,
and then you can see that compared to the number of psychiatric institutions we have in this country.
Facilities. Because here's one.
Is where you are rehabilitated because you are cuckoo.
Well, in institutions would include.
Don't start with well.
Helmut, if you use, if because we have to say facility, yeah, primarily because the facility is there to dispense treatment.
Yeah.
But if you say institution, it makes it sound like slash school plus church plus lock-up rooms and...
institutionalized.
And cellars under the ground, you know. It makes it sound like a Resident Evil situation.
Oh, yeah.
And the worst part is that I even watched, Resident Evil Requiem gameplay over the past weekend. You know, when you watch some of these guys play video games and you see their reactions to like these horror game scenes.
Yeah.
The one guy was like literally screaming, and he's a grown man, he's even older than me.
And he was screaming his lungs out?
Yeah, because Resident Evil is technically a horror thriller game.
Yeah.
And the mechanics are designed so that you run slow. If you try to run away, you are running slow, but the chasing NPC, non-playable character, is literally, you're sort of like, it's giving you that fright, that scare element. So everything is like, you are wondering, why is the mechanics...
Why are you this slow? Why are they fast?
Yeah, or sometimes, and sometimes not. Now...
And boy, are they many.
Yeah, and now, obviously, with the explanation of institute or institution, I mean, it's a surprising thing, Helmut. When I wrote that article last year, the one about the rehabilitative and the other particular scenario, the scope, which is a report from the Ministry of Health, I still cannot find, which I was told also at that stage last year in 2025, no, the report won't be made public because the World Health Organization in 2024 came to Namibia, assessed Namibia's public health services and public health facilities.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, compile this report based upon the findings and ultimately what they'd like to see Namibia invest more in, which helps to answer the question specifically, for example, about the developments regarding all public and civil servants have to use the public facilities, the public health facilities from this year going ahead. So at the heart of that discussion is the talking point of, is there like advanced medical care facilities? So when I say advanced medical care, just so that you know, dear listeners, it's me just sort of like advancing the care discussion away from, oh, I cut my finger, I now have to go to the emergency operating facility, or I have a serious condition, I have to be hospitalized within one of the big hospitals of the state, which is either Central Karatura and I think what's the other one's name, I think there's one at the coast. I don't know if Otjiwarongo has one on the similar level as, but Oshakati also has a state hospital. I know that. And then, what's the guys from Kietmanshoop also has a hospital, but here's the worst part. Kietmanshoop's, the nurse's accommodation looks literally like the hospital part, but you don't see the hospital. So you don't know how big the hospital is versus the accommodation. Cause every time at nighttime, when you drive into Kietmans,
You see the
skyscraper. It's the only skyscraper in Kietmans.
So that's the nurse's accommodation.
That's the nursing accommodation. So one time when we went to go play rugby in Rosbina, we had to go through Kietmans. You can only go through Kietmans. I asked guys that were from Kietmans who were, you know, NUST students as well with me. I asked them, guys, what is this big building? They were like, Dwight, how do you not know Kietmans? I said, dude, I barely get here to Kietmans. So what's this place? What's this big, the skyscraper? Oh no, that's the nurse's accommodation. I was like, what? Now where's the hospital? No, it's on the other side of the building. So you, from the angle, from the highway, you can't see past the skyscraper of accommodation. But nonetheless, so when I use the word advanced could be other things also, dear listeners, in healthcare. But when you look at the advanced discussion that was held at that public health service delivery engagement last year, the understanding from what I got from the participation, the presentation, and the likes, was they were looking at potentially how the public health sector has to play in a more advanced role than it currently is. Now, I'm going to park it there because more advanced role means you've got to have rehabilitative facilities across the country. You need to have more psychiatric wards across the country. You need to have more supportive healthcare functions, for example, access to psychologists. Now I'm parking that bus right there, and I'm just using Namibia's public health sector as a template for us to that then sort of like cascades back into the research infrastructure discussion.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Helmut. When we had that caller back in 2024 come through and tell us and literally highlight to us that we only have two state psychiatric facilities besides the private sector ones, it obviously indicates to anyone a scary picture.
Yeah.
because the state is supposed to be the one that should have more infrastructure, not the private sector have more infrastructure.
Yeah, and that's for also one very obvious reason.
Yeah.
And that's the state serves more people.
Exactly.
Than the private sector.
The state also has to care for more people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, here's the other scary thing, primarily, based upon this research infrastructure report. So, encapsulated in the report is this. There's a sentence, for example, in the executive summary, which is on page 8 for you and I, our reference. But for the listeners, I also contain it in the article of this, of today's The Villager. Because I also, you know, wrote a similar report based upon it, but the report was the journalistic report was titled "Irongo and Comas Dominate, Dominate with the Most Research Infrastructure Across the Country," which once again is the unfortunate picture. They do.
Centralized.
Yeah. Centralization once again, comes up, which obviously shows the scary picture of what are the other regions actually doing. Now, the other regions that you will read in that, in today's article will cite to you
get your glow on with ShopRite's hair and beauty range. Visit your nearest store and buy everything you need to nourish your skin, love your hair, and look your best. Keep on shining with deals like Darling Yucky Braids, all variants, any two for 24 Namibian dollars. And 1 liter organics shampoo or conditioner, all variants, for only 79 Namibian dollars 99 each. Don't miss out on our great deals to get your glow on. Offers valid until 8 March 2026. Only at ShopRite.
Welcome back. 15 minutes to the hour of 5. And at 5, we have a little interruption. That is not an interruption. It's, you know, we got to pay the bills with an interview that's going to be between that's yours truly here in studio and Vilvicha University. But more on that exactly at 5. So stay tuned to know what that interview has in store for you. But until then, we continue with the Namibia state of research infrastructure discussion.
So just where I left it off was the picture primarily of, you know, the regions, which regions are leading, which regions did not fare so well in terms of the assessment. And when I say did not fare so well, there were literally, I think it's 4 regions, Helmut, that reported non-responsiveness to the survey that the NCRST's guys had issued. Now, they cite that NCRST's explanation is this does not translate to that these regions do not have infrastructure installed in them. It's just they just did not get a response within a 2-year period from these institutions. They even drove there, the researchers by the NCRST.
Yeah.
They even drove to these regions.
No response.
They did get a response when they showed up to the facilities. It's just that the people said, you know what, I'm not the best person to answer. I cannot take lead. I cannot give you the discussions, so and so and so and so forth.
Look, but that's not rocket science. One thing I know is that when it comes to institutions, every entity has the right person you're supposed to talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't just stop Helmut in the middle of the road and start asking him questions about Eagle FM. I'm not going to tell you anything.
Why not, Helmut? If they know that you're contracted to Eagle FM, why
yes,
not?
Yes, I am.
Why not?
More often when they start, when they start looking for you asking questions.
Yeah.
When there's something about your company that's on the front page.
Obviously, yeah.
Then yeah, you go when I'll tell you, look, you're going to have to look for spokesperson.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why, hang on a second. I think it falls into the story of what you told us the other day of some of the, the colleagues in the media industry that were, that thought they could talk directly to the UN.
Mm.
They were told, well, look, our protocol is, it was actually you guys that came to the rescue. They're not going to talk to you.
Yeah, me and the other journalists.
Because their protocol operates differently.
Yeah.
You can't talk directly to them because they don't, they don't make any decisions. They just recommend.
Oh, and they just advise.
They just advise, recommend, and then the rest you will have to hear it from the Ministry of International Relations.
Or from Home Affairs.
Yeah.
Or from, which the other ministry? Even finance.
So that means if you show up there with a mic, they'll be like, look, don't get me wrong, I work for the UN, but.
I'm a Namibian, but.
Namibian, but.
Doesn't say I have to talk to you.
I also really want to talk to you, but.
It doesn't say I have to talk to you.
Yeah. So that means, okay, that means, that also, I think points to me, something about, lack of protocol, because if you are going to take, for example, if you're going to visit a place, it's always important to know who is the right person to talk to about this subject.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, here's a big example that even fits into what that explainer is that you just gave. So earlier today, I sort of like went off on another journalist based upon, because the person posted Idi Amin, something about Idi Amin and Idi Amin's perspective on Israelis.
Yeah.
Now, Idi Amin is the worst African example you can use. So too, Mobutu Sese Seko.
Oh boy. Now, actually, if you ask me, Mobutu is the worst example you can use.
Now, Mobutu and Idi Amin killed a lot of their own people, even though they had a lot of very, and I'll call it what it is, very racist perspectives.
Yeah.
Now, the downside is of many of the journalists that I've come across in Namibia, and yes, I'm journalist bashing right now, because you have to take stock of your own conduct in the industry, and even observe the conduct of others in the industry as well, is that some of these guys have a fetish for strongman politicians, specifically soldiers like the Traores and Thomas Sankaras. They would come and quote you Thomas Sankaras, and you stand there going like, yeah, in which line of business are you again, Dwight? I'm in media. Yeah, when military coups happen, who gets shot first?
Who gets censored first?
The press. Yeah, whose radio stations and TV stations and newspapers get raided first? The media. Yeah, who gets arrested first for censorship? The media. So, in a nutshell, those particular talking points, resonated in terms of how the idea around doing research also presents itself. Because many journalists forget that they are also researchers. The institutions they work for, which would be media companies, actually also function as a communications research mechanism in its own way, and it actually generates not just content, because the new thinking today in 2026 is generate content, but it's actually also how you formulate that content and the kind of information you share. So now I bounce it back into the discussion, which actually makes it surprising now that I think about it, Helmut. I mean, the media guys were not assessed in each of these regions by NCRST's people. Because technically we are researchers.
They were just in STEM type of fields.
True. Yeah. Because they were obviously looking at the, they mentioned at the start of the report, the idea behind why they're doing the survey is in terms of how Namibia can achieve its industrialization.
Yeah.
Okay. Understandable. True. Now, here's where things get interesting. Besides Irongo and Comas dominating with the most research infrastructure distribution, with having the highest of it, is that there was a question also, which I asked, but it's also in the report, what was the private sector participation? Because predominantly, it was easy for them to go and talk to sister or fellow state-owned entities and other ministerial offices and regional offices and the likes, and agencies and the likes, and NGOs. But when they had to talk to the private sector, Hamoud, they realized that the private sector has almost no, if you're looking at the discussion of integration into Namibia's industrial plans, as well as also relying on the private sector also to play a pivotal part, for example, in the research and development and research and industrialization discussion, in many thinking, and I say in many thinking, that the thinking behind that is just look to the government to sort it out. But the private sector also has the capabilities.
Yeah, I mean, didn't they meet we as a country basically came up with the whole public-private forum last year.
True, true. And that public-private forum brought out a lot of particular honest soul-searching contributions. Just before we've got to actually cross over to that discussion, but don't worry, guys, it won't happen now because we still have like 2 or 3 minutes to still deal with. Just letting you know, we're creeping up closely to that particular interview at 5 o'clock. There was a one line, Helmut. I just want to read you that line specifically regarding the private sector's role and participation. They highlight here that while 90% of the facilities are operational, many face challenges which include obsolete equipment, discontinued funding, and limited staff capacity, which may hinder research effectiveness. Collaboration potential is also mixed. Facilities show willingness to share access, engage in national and international partnerships, but reluctance towards co-branding and unrestricted infrastructure use suggests a need for clearer collaborative frameworks. Then they also look at accessibility, which also highlights a particular talking point from this, being that accessibility varies, with some facilities imposing limited fee-based access, which potentially restricts cooperative opportunities, and that over half of the respondents were uncertain regarding future infrastructure plans, reflecting possible gaps in the strategic oversight. Nearly 2/3 of the facilities cost less than 1 million Namibian dollars, classifying them as small or departmental equipment within the Southern African Research Infrastructure Framework that NCRST applied to this assessment. The private sector guys just want to get this quick quote in. The private sector engagement remains minimal at 4%, which indicates a critical need for targeted initiatives to better integrate this sector into the national system of innovation. Skills gaps affect 80% of facilities, particularly in research writing, specialized fields such as simulation, big data management, and climatological modeling, which necessitates a need for targeted capacity building programs. Now, where did I close the report? If any, you wanted sobering reading, this report obviously would also highlight this. I mean,
Antonio Guterres' language.
I mean, he's definitely a role model for us, Helmut, in that regard, in terms of speech, of conduct, in terms of speaking. But it is pretty much obvious. If you've got that 2/3 of your facilities are less than 1 million Namibian dollars in value. Now, that's what? That's not even $100,000. That's $50,000 in value. That's, in many cases in the US, that's a car's price, Helmut. Facilities that cost the same price as a car.
Research equipments are basically, well, they are expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason behind them being expensive is that you don't have, the reason why not only are they expensive, but you also need the state of the art one that will provide you the most accurate, the most accurate reading, at least by international standards.
Yeah.
And because one wrong reading can basically ruin the whole result and give you a whole very terribly wrong conclusion. If you've seen the TV show Chernobyl, you can just skip the whole, I think it's a 5-episode TV show. Mm. Just watch the last episode, because the last episode basically sums up the events leading up to the disaster. This was now in a courtroom.
Mm.
Yeah, this is they brought in an expert who was also in Ground Zero to basically explain to them what led to the explosion. Then they were basically looking at a series of one wrong decision after another that was made on management level.
Mm.
Yeah, that which more often came in as it was actually a combination of management fault and manufacturer's fault.
Mm.
Yeah. Because the reactors had flaws that were not taught in universities.
Serious?
Yeah.
That's a first.
The flaw was hidden, and it was only revealed by the scientist accident. The expert who was explaining it, And that was during the whole, that was way after the disaster. Some people already dead, some people already dying from cancer and stuff.
The facility and the surrounding area. The
facility
area
was up in flames.
Being
people
closed
were
off already. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, Helmut, we'll quickly take a short break, dear listeners. We come back as we step into the paid for engagement right after this break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia is not.
Kapen ondando da falada Shoprite aloho kukunini ondando da wapivi ni pumbiwa esiku OKG omlogo dosuka ontokere your best choice kodora ethiro mirango hitatu nani no sendo mirango winowe osho OKG omlogo dorui shiro king rofuru ketata kodora ethiro mirango hitatu nahamano no sendo mirango winowe ino futashi wadize po Shoprite price filikonsu wonga hitatu gamaritza nuvo ko Shoprite akuki waimina already steady cook ko one Africa no mapaduro ku Shoprite and Namibia.
Get your glow on with Shoprite's Hair and Beauty Range. Visit your nearest store and buy everything you need to nourish your skin, love your hair, and look your best. Keep on shining with deals like 400 ml Dawn Body Lotion, All Cream, All Variants for $29.99 each, and 125 ml Easy Waves Regular or Coarse Cream Relaxer for only $22.99 each. Don't miss out on our great deals to get your glow on. Offers valid until 8 March 2026. Only at Shoprite.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real, just like Vintuk Beer.
For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun podcast and cooler box thing where the best memories are made.
And for Vintuk Beer, it's that barley, hops, and water thing. Let's raise a Vintuk Beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM. The Eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
And welcoming you back, dear listeners, here on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. And for a brief sort of like discussion, we will move over from The Home Run specifically to an interesting talking point coming through earlier today, specifically as we are joined by Madam Lydia, by Madam Damona Kaluma from Velvetia University. Madam Kaluma, welcome and thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much and good afternoon to our listeners.
Madam Kaluma, obviously there's some exciting news specifically that comes out of a memorandum of understanding that was recently engaged between Velvetia University and another party. But obviously the other parties reveal, you'll obviously share with us. But if we start into the particular talking point that we can look into, can you tell us more about the recent memorandum of understanding that was signed between Velvetia University and KMTC?
Yes, sure. On the 3rd of March in Nairobi, we signed a memorandum of understanding with the Kenya Medical Training College, which is a leading training health training institution in Nairobi, Kenya. And we are proud to have been represented by alongside with the CEO of KMTC, Dr. Kelly Olochu, and our council chairperson, Dr. Monica Pendukeni, and also, of course, the acting vice chancellor of Balvita University, which is Professor Maria Sadimbi. And this partnership creates a structured framework for collaboration in education, research, and capacity building.
And obviously this new development helps us also to understand another particular dimension, specifically like what specific benefits will this bring to Velvice University and its students?
The MOU will unlock customized diploma and certificate courses with KMTC's technical support and shared access to laboratories and libraries and also joint research publications. Our students will gain practical skills tailored to Namibia's health needs, like addressing local gaps in healthcare delivery.
And that sounds very, very interesting as well, Madam Kaluma. The next particular question on the mind, obviously, is how will this MOU address the challenges in Namibia's own healthcare system?
The MOU will address the challenges in a way that we will co-develop context-specific curricula and also deploy KMTC experts for training aligned with national priorities. This will boost leadership development, and it will also strengthen health systems and equip our graduates to fulfill critical roles in Namibia's public and private sectors.
Now, the partnership also specifically with the Kenyan institution, if we look at this, the question that then emits from this particular engagement is why partner with the Kenyan institution, and also what would be next for the collaboration?
With KMTC's expertise in medical training, it complements complements our strengths perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
The next step would be to include or rolling out new programs and also to have joint research projects and resource sharing.
And if we also look at specifically the role that students would play, how can the students or stakeholders get involved?
Current students and prospective students can apply via our admissions portal. Our stakeholders can reach our admissions office at admission@wu.edu.na to explore partnerships. This is an exciting time for health education in Namibia, indeed.
And it surely sounds like a new horizon for that, Madam Kaluma. Just a final particular talking point for us to explore. Final thoughts on what this means for Velvice University and Namibia.
This is a game changer, which is elevating Velvice University as a hub for innovative health training and contributing to a healthier Namibia. We are committed to global excellence with local impact.
100%. Madam Kaluma, if there's still something that you wanted to add before we end our discussion, you can still do so.
No, for now we will end here, and just want to say thank you to our listeners and also thank you for having me.
100%. Enjoy the rest of the day, madam.
Thank you. Likewise.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back, and we are back to Home Run.
Interesting. It's actually an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
We just had with our client, which actually plays squarely into the conversation we're also having here about research facilities and infrastructure, and which is obviously a new horizon specifically in that regard.
In the health sector,
which is a plus. It's a bonus. You guys that study health in Namibia. Count yourselves lucky. Obviously, I would have been jumping at for joy, specifically having the opportunity of, continuing with the research further. But in our talk that we had started with prior to that, the main ingredient being that the disconnect between the private sector and the public sector, Helmut. Obviously, even the conversation we just had now is private sector driven. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a health education dimension. However, when you look at the overall aim of what the research infrastructure report espouses, or the message it espouses, is that its lens is squarely on public facilities. I also asked the question in terms of the what kind of private sector participants did they approach? Mention was made of two companies. The researchers mentioned two companies off the cuff of their heads in terms of their memory banks, but then they cited that these guys also, their research and development agenda or policies are squarely focused on their needs. So it's not needs of. Let's, for example, say, I'm just citing this in terms of just highlighting to you. If, for example, it's one of Namibia's major companies, let's say it's in agriculture and it's research and development about making a better kind of a flour specifically for baking, or a better flour for nutritional value specifically, let's say for maize meal. There are two cereal companies in that regard who play a role there, but their research and development is for their needs, is for their commercial activity. It is cornered and it's literally isolated right there. Yes, the product gets distributed throughout the whole economy. Yes, the commercial activity and presence of the company obviously allows them to enhance the product offering that they wish to sell into the market. And yes, obviously how the market responds to the product, allows them also to measure the effectiveness of their own research and development, specifically with taste. Because in many cases, when you mention a cereal company, you're talking about things that you have to consume, meaning you eat them and you have to digest them. So we're talking about taste, texture, look and feel, presentation. What's the other thing? How it responds specifically to the digestive system of a human, and sometimes also to an animal in certain, because we know about the aunties that sometimes make pup for the dog as well. You know, if the auntie wants pup, the dog also gets pup. Or those homeowners that sometimes go like, you know what, I can't just go without with my daily bread in terms of IE. pap, and then they make their own pot, and then they make a pot for the dog or a pot for the cat, and so goed is so. No, there are people literally out there, Helmut, that do things like that. When they make porridge for themselves, they make porridge also for the dog. And yeah, in some cases it happens. But here's the big picture. The big picture being, what do we use the research and development or the research facilities for in a public sector scenario? And primarily, how does the private sector ensure that their research and development stays relevant to their activities? And what do they do with the knowledge? And obviously, I threw in the question at one of the researchers in terms of intellectual property, being the case of, you know, how did they respond to that particular question? If the researchers asked the private companies that were part of the survey, you know, would they be willing to share their findings in a commercial capacity, for example, in terms of that public-private partnership engagement discussion? They didn't explore that notion fully because the main aim was for the survey team to just go and see and assess, current situation and status of the facility, as well as also how does the facility play a future role, you know, going ahead, meaning future plans, future developments coming through from the facility itself. And that primarily was how they just stayed on, what these particular facilities, how they could play a role. Now, you've got to understand, dear listeners, when we had the conversation yesterday of the EU-AU funding discussion, this automatically partners into the facilities. Just like Helmut also said, they go hand in hand because you can't have, yes, EU financing and AU funding and collaboration and so forth and so forth, but we don't have a campus or, you know, collaborative discussions about, you know, furthering or advancing human development, but there are no facilities for you to go and conduct your research in or your findings or, you know, formulate your modeling and stuff like that. Zero. Which makes things a little bit tricky, primarily because we've got to truly understand to what extent can Namibians primarily, and this is not just from science, and I'm slightly envious, guys, because the science guys are now getting severe attention, but we've not even seen the levels that the humanities can also achieve. I mean, Helmut, how do you get a doctorate in law?
Yeah.
How do you get a doctorate in art history? How do you get a doctorate in communication studies?
When it comes to law, doctorate, at this point, at this point, I think you are more into philosophy than you are into law.
I've got a sister in law that has a doctorate in communication. In communication.
Oh boy.
Helmut. In communication.
On yesterday and today's discussion my digging to basically gather as much information as possible on the subject, I found something I did not know about barbershops.
What? Besides, is it the hygiene aspect?
Barbershops. Barbershops is where the medical branch of dentistry started from.
Is it Sweeney Todd?
I'm like, wait, what? Barbershops in the 1400s were practicing low-key dentistry. It wasn't until the 1700s, so that's when barbershop, as in hair cutting, went that direction.
Yeah.
And dentistry went a whole different
direction.
And if you look at the amount of money being made by these two, you can see which one of them have made progress. But look,
have you seen what the first procedure for a headache looked like?
Huh?
Okay, my mother loved buying us encyclopedias now, so we've got a whole range of encyclopedias at home that we grew up on.
My uncle has the whole Britannica collection.
Yeah, we've got the Americana one, which is out of print. That thing doesn't even
print them.
But the last one that my mom bought us when I was in high school was a Guinness. It was like a condensed, summarized one. So the information in both, in various encyclopedias, don't correlate with each other.
Yeah.
And this was now pre-internet Dwight, the before Dwight.
Oh no, pre-internet encyclopedias are my favorite.
So I went to like the medical side of things. There's a photo, like a 15th century photo. I think in the 1500s, not in the 1400s. Yeah. Or a 16th century photo of the first, no, 1700s, the first procedure to try and understand headaches and migraines. Helmut, they literally drilled into your head while you are awake.
Oh, this was the time where the only painkiller was a bite on something.
Yeah, or don't worry, brah. Just
be a man.
Just be a man. Be strong. Do you know what they also did in terms of trying to assess people that had psychosis or psychological ailments, you know, ailments of the mind?
Yeah.
Everyone was lumped together, or those people were put in the prison with the hardened convicts as well.
That's brutal.
Or they were taken literally out of society and put somewhere else.
Again, brutal.
But, and all these are illustrations from a mostly a European context, because I don't know what they did in ancient India or India before the Dutch East India Company showed up, which later on led to the British East India Company. I also don't know what ancient China did with people who had, you know, psychological ailments, or ancient Japan even, or even the guys in the Middle East. The Arabic kingdoms and the likes, and those civilizations there. What did they do specifically for that? It's only now that we're finding out, when people are now deciding to translate ancient texts from those civilizations, where we're now getting insight in terms of, okay, what happened? Obviously, yes, the Chinese had their acupuncture. Funny thing is, we are learning Western medication or Western medicine on one regard, meaning try and treat the thing if you have an issue. Try and treat the thing with, here's a pill. Try and treat the thing, here's a panado. Try and treat the thing, here's a this. Try and treat the thing, there's a grandpa powder. Oh, and that thing tastes horrible. Yes.
What's that?
Grandpa powder.
Oh, aye, aye.
That thing in Compral is horrible, bro. As a kid, ne? Oh, as a kid, if your mom gave you grandpa powder, ne, as a painkiller, ne? Dude, and it was always put on like a big soup spoon, ne? Mixed in with a little bit of sugar just to make it, you know, bearable for you, the kid.
Yeah.
But it was hard because you always swallowed the water first, and then the powder got stuck on your tongue. And now you're munching on the powder. Now you sit with that bitter taste the whole time. But you've got the headache. You've got the genuine headache on you. But the powder is just too bitter. But yeah. So we're sitting with that particular discussion, and the talk that I had with Dr. Huang from the Chinese medical team for the China Corner of last month, of February, he highlighted primarily that, you know, ancient Chinese medicine works on a different scenario of trying to fix your body through, releasing probably pent-up energies. I'm just summarizing that discussion.
Oh, it's more of a, you know, internal tension.
Yeah, but that's how, one was the, what was the, it's similar to Tai Chi, the one particular therapeutic movement, which the Indians have yoga for.
A Falun Gong, like, what's
that? No, but it has a different name. It's,
Don't say jujutsu, because that's
no
way...
jujutsu is a grappling art. Yeah. It's similar to Tai Chi, but it's not Tai Chi.
It's slow.
It's certain moves taken from Kung Fu.
Yeah.
That you do in terms of helping you with just, making sure that your joints are elastic enough. Muscles are also elastic enough. It helps you with basic movements and stuff like that. And I looked it up, and one of the nurses of the Chinese medical team, here to Namibia, is literally a practitioner of this particular therapeutic movement. A second scenario also of that is obviously the acupuncture.
Wait, is it possible that's where chiropractor is from?
But chiropracting is the adjustment of your skeleton. The readjustment of your skeleton.
So that means when you're walking around, you could be walking around with something that's, like out of tune.
Okay, what chiropractors are? Chiropractors are, they first have a basic general practitioner's
qualification.
That's the first qualification level. Yeah. then they've got to specialize in something, and then they select a further specialization, which is then the chiropractic practice. That's how I read up on it. Obviously, that being an American perspective of that situation. I don't know if Namibia has a chiropractor here, but chiropractors help people who can't sleep, people who have severe skeletal issues, meaning, you know, people that have a hunchback situation. Now, when your skeleton, or which is technically the chassis of your body,
yeah,
has got certain...
Oh, that's the best description of it.
No, because it is. Because if you think about it, that's what the car, that's how, yeah, that's how the car developers think about a car. Your skeleton is a chassis. So think about your skeleton as a chassis, and when you look at it,
what... So I'm built on a 1991 Gavango chassis. Okay. That just came out. Sorry.
My goodness. My guy. So, when you look at your skeleton,
the whole chassis thing.
When you look at your skeleton, yeah, right? Your skeleton has obviously got the tendons of the muscles joined to it.
Yeah, that's how the skeleton communicates with your muscles.
Okay, no, but that's a nervous system. But wait first. Mm. Tendons are joined to your muscle.
Yeah, that's how they're joined most.
Yeah. So that your muscles, your muscle fibers are not hanging here dangling somewhere. Yeah. So the tendons and the ligaments are here on the joints where the bones, you know, the skeleton bones mix with each other.
Yeah.
Between two bone points, you find cartilage and liquid, which is like a lubricant.
Lubricant, yeah.
Think of it as like a lubricant. The cartilage is like a, is like a rubber point or a sealant that is sometimes used,
yeah,
between the two
joining your muscles and
between the two bones. So if you've got a joint,
yeah,
like your elbows, your knees, these are two bones that sit like this on each other,
yeah,
and at each part here where my fingers are is where the cartilage is. Between the cartilage there's a liquid here that's a lubricant plus it has a shock absorbent feature like to it.
Effect
to it. And the cartilage is like suspension. The cartilage on the bones is like suspension. So.
And the architecture is amazing.
Yeah. If you think about the human body, it's actually wonderful in terms of how we even got to live on this place that gets burnt with sunlight.
Yeah.
But anyway. When you have a look at the particular discussion, obviously looking at how I'm describing the human body to people, when you look at what chiropractors have to work with the chassis of your body, the skeleton.
Yeah.
So they, in some extreme cases, it's like someone who, with the body muscles, have literally pulled the person's spine forward, like the person walks like this, like in a deformed format.
Yeah.
Obviously, they can't do anything if you are someone that was born with or that suffered from polio, or you suffered from that, you know, that some of those people are born with one leg shorter. Have you ever met people like that? Yeah. And then the shoe is specifically made with a sole higher, or any shoe they buy gets an adjustment to the
one sole is a little thicker than the other.
Yeah, a little thicker or a little higher. So in that scenario, chiropractors can't help you with that, but they can help you if you have someone who walks you, they can literally see that your skeletal structure is slightly off balance.
Yeah.
And then they try to realign it, but then you've got to come back for continuous treatment from the person. In some cases, like weeks. Some cases, it could be a year that they've got to work on you, because they firstly have to work on your muscles, which are joined literally to, which are literally attached to your bones, to your skeleton. And then they can sort out the skeleton's particular alignment. So that specialization is something that's only taught probably in South Africa. I don't know if even the UNAM Health School teaches that particular level of specialization,
mm-hmm,
but I know it's taught in South Africa. Just like if we have to look at the energy security discussion Namibia wants to achieve with regards to Namibia's energy futures, and we've obviously back in last year through NDP 6 and at the inauguration level of President Nandi Ndaitwah, back on 21 March last year, we announced the aspect of, you know, nuclear energy will play an active part in Namibia's energy security future, which then also means Are we going to send more Namibians to be trained in South Africa to become physicists? Or are those same physicists and engineers going to be start being trained here in Namibia, in Windhoek? But then, I'm just talking purely science at this moment. We also have to look at, Helmut, the potential of developing experts in other fields. I mean, there's some lovely art, that I saw recently at the FNCC, specifically of a specific artist, ne? But our arts presence is like, Helmut is there, Dwight is there,
fragmented.
Franz is there, a happy juju is over there. You know, each one is doing something there, but we don't say that these artists come out of a specific tertiary institute that produces this specific kind of a style of art. And the people who teach these new artists are these and these lecturers or tutors. No, many people forget that many of the Greeks were artists. They painted, even if it was just finger painting or something. Many people forget that, what's his name? Da Vinci was an artist. Da Vinci was an artist, and he was an inventor at the same time.
Da Vinci was a lot of things.
Yeah, he was a jack of... He was an artist. He was actually a polymath.
Yeah, an engineer.
An architect. He was an artist, an engineer.
And you can tell from the Mona Lisa that he was also romantic. And...
How do you paint a woman without eyebrows, brah? Please tell me the romantic behind, the romance behind forgetting the eyebrows of someone.
Well, I think that was, those were the beauty standards back then in medieval Europe.
They didn't got eyebrows, brah.
You know, in medieval Europe, the big eye, you know, a big forehead.
Yeah.
Was a beauty standard.
That is true.
That means if you have a big forehead, you are not ugly. You're just born in a wrong generation.
I hope that's at the women, Helmut.
Moving on. the world have seen a lot of crazy beauty standards come and go.
Yeah.
And also one thing that a lot of people don't know about high heels is that they were first made for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're first made for men, and then we realized, things you can imagine, you know, someone from the opposite gender wore them and walked away, and everyone liked the view, so we decided to give them the shoes.
For us, it just looked dodgy.
It is dodgy.
For us men.
Mm-hmm.
No, it is dodgy.
Yep. First of all, I don't know how they walk in those shoes. I still can't wrap my mind around someone walking in high heels.
Oh no, you need to see the ladies walk down some of the on a gravel road with those high heels.
On a gravel? Oh, I've seen that. Basically, that's every day at church. Now,
I'm so glad I don't have a girlfriend. I would have been called by now. Hey, what are you trying to say? What are you saying? What are you actually saying? No.
Actually, the most painful, you know, the most painful part I don't like about high heels is, where are we, research and development? Now. Ain't no way. Well.
Today was a Friday, Helmut. Is a Friday.
It's a very good one. And we had, 29 minutes left to the hour of 6, so. When it comes to, there's a reason why research and development is more, are more often connected, because you need them. Because, you basically need both of them.
Mm.
Because, there are so many ways of, of doing things. You just have to refine them or come up with new ones. I also came to learn, I think that was last year, that, the T-Bex that we use was more of an accidental invention. The first manufacturers, their intention was, they took the tea bags, they put the tea inside. The idea was they were to be used in the same way that you use a sachet. You have to break it open and they pour out the content in your cup.
Yeah.
So a lot of people kept submerging the whole sachet in the cup. So the designers were like, all you just have to do is change the material of the container.
Yeah.
Of the sachet to make it porous. So that, it was actually a genius move, because you don't have to deal with the residues at the bottom of your cup every now and then.
Or floating leaves at the top of
floating everything, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, it's more observational, even though that is, and one thing about science is that most of the scientific breakthroughs are more often accidents.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Someone who was working on something different, you know, discovered something different. Someone who was working on a military tracking system radar ended up giving us a microwave. Now, connect the two. There is no way I'm going to link the two. Yeah, but the thing is...
but just imagine it, nah?
Yeah.
How strong a microwave is for it to cook your food.
Yeah.
So that means... Now,
there's a reason why it comes in that casing.
So that means the guy that was producing... Do you know that that technically could be a laser?
Yeah. That's why, you know, that's why for a lot of, you know, a lot of... It's not advisable that when a plane is running, you stand in front of, you know, in front of the plane, especially when the engines are on. And that's the reason, one of the main reasons is that's where you have all the radar equipments and it's not healthy for you. And basically,
so they could fry you from the front.
It's a bad idea for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's the same idea behind you, why especially women are not advised to put your phone in your bra. It's just not healthy because that thing is always emitting, you know, just a.
You guys heard now, ne?
Yeah. Look, that's public knowledge.
Especially those ladies that have anti vibes.
Yeah. The thing is, if you have seen with a microwave, what cooks faster in a microwave? Anything that has fats cooks faster in a microwave.
Popcorn as well.
Yeah. And now fats and microwave basically they are. Two good friends, that's if you're cooking something. So your phone produces microwave type of length, wavelengths, and, the breast are predominantly fats.
Mm.
So that's why it's a bad idea. And also, not medical advice, still ask your doctor. Now, the thing is, you'll just find a lot of, there's a lot of research that's been done on this. That's basically, that will point you in the very same direction every now and then that, it's your phone, yes, but make sure it's as far from you as possible, especially the sensitive parts, including us, by the way, your groins. And painfully for us, that's where your pockets are located.
Technology had moved on, Helmut.
It
was a warning. I remember it was a warning in the early 2000s because you remember the guys that used to sit with their laptops on their laps.
Uh-huh.
And they spoke about in certain research aspects that potentially the heat that that your laptop generates at the bottom where the battery is could impact the organs of a man, the reproductive organs of a man.
Yeah, the heat is one, but the microwave frequency is the other.
As the other thing. Yeah. And then there was obviously the frequencies or the potential frequencies that come from your headphones, microphone at the top of the phone.
Yeah.
But that was for the previous,
phone models.
Yeah. Models and generations of the 2000s where we still had that, never say die Nokias, you know, the ones that would fall and then.
Immortal.
Yeah. You were calling it immortal, but there were people that were literally putting that, indestructibility to a test. But yeah, so
yeah.
Those were some of the developers. Now, all of that shows research and development. Even the stories that we told from research and development shows research and development. Obviously someone had to be dead.
You know, look, one thing I find fascinating about things like research and development is there are a lot of things that we have considered, more like a standard. We do it on a daily basis, but we don't know how it came to be.
Yeah.
Take PAP, for example. Well, have you ever wondered about the first person that basically decided to combine, because we cook pap all the time. You just take water, you boil it, and then you take this powder, you put it, and then you let it simmer for a couple of minutes, and then you're eating at the end of the day.
Mm.
Now, when you just sit there and ask yourself one question that like, we have normalized it. It's basically something that's passed from one generation to another.
Yeah.
So we don't see it as a big deal. But the question you can't help but ask yourself sometimes if you're an overthinker like me is, who was the first person to basically come up with this idea that you just take that liquid, combine it with that powder, and then, do this and that and that, and then you end up with this?
as well as also how to respond to emergency situations. For example, last year when I went on that particular tour of the regions in the north regarding, you know, obviously Namibia's cultural tourism value, which also needs research in its own right, was a discussion from the engagement with the tour guide that I had, where I asked him, Martin, why was Mahangu, pearl millet, introduced into Namibia? And when was this? And because you would hear stories.
Good question.
It literally came from like before the '50s even.
Yeah.
The particular crop itself, it started emerging as a crop. And then he just gave me a one line answer in terms of saying it's a crop that has a drought resistant feature to it.
So it's suitable for the environment.
Technically, which also highlights to you for how long has Namibia been such a particular precarious country regarding rainfall.
The rainfall, yeah.
So, which obviously means the response would be give the people a crop that is actually suitable.
That's suitable for the environment.
For the environment and for the climatic conditions. Yeah. Now, research and development starts from there. Why are we not championing these particular discussions? Obviously, the research first has to be done. You identify what was, what's going to happen, what are some of the likely scenarios, which is the modeling. I've learned a lot specifically from the guys on YouTube who have their YouTube channels, the economist guys. They love playing with models, you know, a model scenario. You should see Yanis explain his modeling theory to you. He would draw you a lovely chart there and draw you an x-axis up there and a y-axis coming down.
Yeah.
And then Dwight is done. I'm lost. You know, the moment I see two lines go up, and then I say, is that the stupid equilibrium discussion that I learned in economics 1? I was like, ay toch. Because the equilibrium discussion even, not to say that it's an obsolete perspective, but many of these leading thinkers have pointed this out.
Yeah.
To reach equilibrium, Helmut, would mean that any business accepts break even. Now, what is break even? Break even is where your costs and your income are zero. They minor, they nullify each other.
Yeah.
They cancel each other out.
Like 50-50.
Now, which business person runs on break even? No one.
Nope. I don't want to run on even.
Now, I've just explained to you technically how break even literally can be nullified with just common knowledge. Primarily that, how do you prove specifically because equilibrium means that when supply and demand intersect at a particular scenario, it's a perfect scenario that exists.
Yeah.
But a perfect scenario would mean, you know, that there is this. Okay. But anyway, yeah.
You'll basically have to end up doing something to sort of like, survive if they are both 50-50. They're going to end up borrowing.
True.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to when it comes to a whole research discussion, it's especially with regards to equipment, not just infrastructure. Because if you ask me, equipment falls under infrastructure. Like both are needed. It all comes to a regulation. If you look at it,
yeah,
you need first of all a regulatory body that will indicate that. This and this and this is how, you know, this and this and this are the only ways that you're allowed to conduct this type of experiments. If you're conducting experiments with chemicals, for example, there are certain places that you can do those experiments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there are chemicals you don't want to mix near people because they are chemicals that have, unfortunately killed scientists. Yeah, and there are certain.
There's Marie Curie and her husband.
Yeah, there's Marie Curie. And my favorite is chlorine trifluoride.
What happened there?
That's one chemical that's very stubborn. When it's actually very good. It's an oxidizing agent. What it does is it sets most things on fire.
Mm.
Yeah, when I say most things on fire, I mean including sand on fire. Yeah, so so it's one of those chemicals that you can't just walk in the shop and buy. They are very strictly regulated.
Yeah.
And this is true for every country. There are chemicals that you can just walk in any hardware or any store that will sell you these chemicals. But some you will need a special permission to buy them. Not because your government hates you, it's because of what you can do with them. Yeah. Someone on TikTok, one guy in this whole, TikTok has a stem part, right? You know, you have a stem for you followers. And now the stem part is, usually find myself in that category.
Mm.
So you'll find a lot of guys basically, playing around with, everything science related.
Mm.
So, this guy was dissolving a drumstick in a piranha solution.
Mm.
Yeah. And someone wrote in the comment section that, how much of that would I need to dissolve a 74 kg chicken? And the guy was like, I know what you are doing here. 74 kg chicken? What am I, an idiot?
74 kg chicken? Oh my goodness.
I know you are not planning on dissolving a chicken.
That is not a chicken.
That's not a chicken.
That's not a
chicken. Unless you nicknamed someone chicken. Speaking of which, now that's my boss. Now, the equipments are needed because, look at this. Yesterday we talked about, the EU research collabo.
Mm.
And, they looked at, how they're going to be working together and how they're going to be, spend a lot of money to train individuals to specialize in certain fields to the point where they are doing research. Now, after that, you now have to keep them on the continent. That means you have to give them opportunities on the continent. That requires before you get opportunities, you have to start talking infrastructure and equipments.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real, just like Vintuk beer.
For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun podcast and cooler box thing where the best memories are made.
And for Vintuk beer, it's that barley, hops and water thing. Let's raise a Vintuk beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back for those of you that are looking to get into science. So the good thing is, the world has always been scientific. That's why on Sunday I'm, be cooking a lot of people. And I know there is
for scientific purposes.
Of course, for scientific purposes. Now,
there'll be no dissolving.
No, nothing. There'll be no dissolving. Dissolving is something I enjoyed in the lab, practical. Very, very nice. Now, the thing is, the reason why science is important is like, now is the best example to explain why science is important. I have counted three religious groups in the war in the Middle East, and they're all using scientific equipment to fight each other. Now, at this point, I'm going... Yeah. Religion doesn't have much of a difference on this one.
All of it is scientific.
All of it is scientific.
Even the economy.
The economy is scientific.
Yeah.
The military hardware is scientific.
Even the clothing.
Everything is scientific. But, everyone is saying my God is better than yours. At this point, I'm going, guys, can we just...
It's your scientists.
Yeah, at this point, let's just stick to scientists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's things like that makes, people look at religion and go like, so you saying your God is powerful than that, than the God of that guy. That guy is saying the God is powerful than the God of that guy. So, and why is the science again?
Where is the science?
Why science?
No, but where is it as once again? Why are they not the ones talking here and bragging?
I know. Now, there's a part of there's a part of this NCRST report that talks about the ethical way of doing things.
Mm.
That part, you have to pay attention to it very much, because the history of science is a very ugly one, at least ethically speaking. That's why you need regulations.
Yep.
Yeah. A lot of people have done a lot of questionable things in the name of science.
And then we only see the good impacts here being practiced on us, but you never think about where did it come from?
Yeah. Because more often where it's coming from, someone asked on social media that, how do we know that the internal parts of a human being is like this? Someone just wrote in the comment section a very honest and very brutal answer. War crimes.
Not just war crimes, bro. We had to see, people had to see what it looked like.
Look, if you read through the stories of people like General Shiro Ishii of Unit 731 and Joseph Mengele, just these two characters will just show you how ugly science is, especially when it comes to its history. Now, if you are African and you look at where most of the scientific breakthroughs, especially in the field of medicine, were made, this is in the colonial times. That draws an even more grim picture. So we're in the 21st century. So research must be done in an ethical way. And that means you need, first of all, state-of-the-art equipment, because researchers are expensive to fund.
Yep.
Yeah, you need state-of-the-art equipment because you don't want to be doing the same research over and over again because your equipments are faulty. And that brings us to the million-dollar question. Who makes most of the scientific equipment? Where's Africa? Nowhere near. That'd be the short answer.
There was an interesting delegation back in 2021, Helmut, that came to visit President Gangop at the State House. It was an Indian business delegation that the NAPDB had welcomed and had entertained, obviously, because the delegation came to Namibia to see the potential of Namibia as a, you know, investment hub or as an investment destination.
Yeah.
In that delegation, you had education, medical, one or two were mining, and then there were two medical, two education, two mining based, but the two medical, one of them was a manufacturing company. The representative was a manufacturing company for these plastic tubes. Everything like this cable here in front of us, these plastic tubing.
But
imagine now, this is not in the hospital, all that plastic tubing and those plastic utensils and plastic things that need to be used.
Like your IV tubes and everything.
All that. For health facilities.
Yeah.
Such a person came and visited Namibia and literally was part of a business delegation. And I sat there thinking to myself, obviously while President Gangop was now, was obviously welcoming, interacting with him and all, I sat there going like, it would be interesting to see what that kind of a factory, what its potential would be specific just for the medical facility, just for the medical or for the health sector in Namibia. What would such a factory do if you could manufacture your own? But once again, and that's before I knew that plastics were made from petroleum, from oil, was that you needed a petrochemicals manufacturing sector. So a sector before a sector.
That's the one that's going to be feeding you with material.
Which is our UN Conference of Trade and Development discussion at the start of this week. You need a sector before that sector. Now, you can also tie in the UNCTAD report to this infrastructure report.
Diversification.
Definitely. Because you would then probably see if you want to advance certain facilities, what would it take? And what do they actually want to do? What role would they want to play? The second scenario was the, obviously, the centralization part. We didn't satisfy that part yet because we've got like 6 or 7 minutes still left of the day. But in the centralization conversation, Almut.
Everything is in Erongo and commerce.
Yeah. Everywhere I'm going to go, because this is a personal mission of mine, not to make the public people, you know, the officials obviously, be afraid of everything, but I'm going to continuously ask this question. If I'm going to an event here in Windhoek and people are talking about, yeah, this, it means this for the country. And I'm going to ask them, okay, so what does it mean? How will you communicate this event that we as the media have been invited to? How does this trickle down to the rest of the region?
Ordinary Namibian.
Yeah. How does it impact the ordinary Namibian? And how is the local councillors, the local politicians across the country, how are they going to champion whatever you are signing here? How are those two things going to... They've got to show me the tie-in. They've got to show me the tether, the connecting cable, the connector. I want to see this because I hear the president, I hear the National Planning Commission's director general, you hear the prime minister, but then, Helmut, today you'll drive, let's say, to Divundu and you'll see the disconnect. I will drive to Witvlei and I will see the disconnect. Someone will go to literally Karibab and they will see the disconnect. Because somewhere there's broken telephone taking place.
Yeah.
And how is that bridging the gap of firstly, reporting, monitoring and evaluation, as well as also being quick enough to respond to when you see that the first policy's aim is not going to deliver what you promised to deliver. How are you going to, what corrective measure will you have to try and get back on course or achieve the same goal or a different goal through a different means? And we still need to grasp that level of conversation. A nice thing that comes out of, some certain business interviews I've seen on YouTube was a business guy that was asked or interviewed on, he works in China, but he's a Brit or he's an American. He's an American living in China, also a business owner. And he said, specifically in China, you don't attack the politician when you look at like, the media discourse.
Yeah.
They don't attack the politician who made the policy. They just go like, okay, so we see the policy doesn't work. What do you change about the policy? You speak about the policy.
Yeah.
So that means in an African / Namibian context, we also need to adopt this particular adaptability concept.
We put some flexibility in it.
Exactly. Because let's, for example, say that President Nandine Ndaitwe and her cabinet see, you know, that certain policies from NDB6 or certain directions of NDB6 or certain deliverables of NDB6 are not going to be attainable. What corrective measure will they use?
That's going to take another 5-10 years to discuss that policy and another 5 to 10 years to implement it.
But why so much time?
Exactly.
Why? And yes, and the next question would be, why would there be a need for so much time? Yeah. Is there an adaptability component aligned to this? If you want, let's call it clear planning and management, obviously, the Europeans seem to be the best at this, meaning they developed a policy, an overall treaty, the Great Green Deal.
Mm.
They developed a treaty. I didn't even know that this thing existed until 2021, Helmut, when we had to hear here in Namibia about green hydrogen. But because the Europeans started 2 years before then, because I mean from 2015, they began negotiating about this. So this means a whole 27 member bloc had been in negotiations between each other about we should move away from fossil fuels. Now, this obviously means that the Europeans are doing something separate from the SDGs. They're trying to achieve certain goals from the SDGs itself. they're trying to achieve certain particular deliverables in terms of industrial change and industrial goal setting, which are different from the SDGs. And when the Great Green Deal was signed, that the European member nations signed, we had to now, I had to now hear as a media personality in Namibia, what is this Great Green Deal? What is this particular conversation talking point? This particular conversation point that emanates from, you know, the industrial goals that Europe wishes to achieve. And what do you want to see from this? Now, we as Namibia, we've been working on 5-year, strategies. So these 5-year strategies were either, the sort of like the foundationary one is anything national development based that has that name. And obviously in between we had the HPPs, but they had certain particular goals, certain particular deliverables. Today or in 2026 or since January into now March, I've realized and observed certain particular developments that were mentioned in the previous NDP6 and in HPP2. I am seeing popping up here in, you know, in NDP6's sort of like, scope, which also begs to ask you the question, did we measure any deliverables from NDP5 or even from HPP2? Because HPP2 and NDP5 were literally overlapping each other. And did we get like a report card on saying, we adopted EITI? And I can categorically tell you, you know, through obviously the testimony that I heard from Graham Hopwood from IPPR specifically, was that Namibia had not joined onto the EITI, even though President Geingob wanted, in his policy in HPP2, wanted us to join EITI. So the question, you know, seeing these particular developments, if other countries can say, listen, if we're going to bring out a policy, an industrial policy or specific policy for our country, it's either two things. It's either we are adaptive and flexible, meaning we bring it out, we see how the ecosystem reacts, and we change things as we go along. Or we are dead set, we've got clear-cut goals, we've got clear-cut objectives, we know which institutions have to deliver deliverables, or have to deliver on goals, and we ensure that we stay on the course. Meaning resources get allocated, departments and divisions and organizations get capacitated, and they have to start delivering. Meaning implementing, then delivering. So, yes, I've taken that conversation, obviously, Helmut, of our research infrastructure discussion a little bit further, but when you look back literally to the conversation we had with the UNCTAD dimension, you realize, we need to be flexible. We really need to be flexible.
Like policy-wise?
Both policy, both industrial-wise. Because, yes, it's a little bit of a light bulb moment, but we really need to be.
You know, what's the best place to start when it comes to research and development if you look at the history of most research? It's mostly based on indigenous knowledge.
True.
Don't leave that one. Don't leave indigenous knowledge. Actually, I would go as far as to say start from there.
Yeah, but there are drawbacks, Helmut, because the biggest drawback, and I really feel sorry for every African country outside of South Africa, which includes us, is we are literally on this. It's a term that we use in Afrikaans. The term is known as Turu, but it literally has its Kwekwekova roots, obviously. But it's a term that means you are so desperate. You are willing to forego, you know, literally just feeling the pain, hunkering down on that pain, and then rather develop yourself up. But you are now desperate.
You want to get it done ASAP.
ASAP. So you don't want to build industries. You just want to harvest and sell to a European who's got euros, you just want to harvest and sell to an American who's got dollars. You just want to harvest and sell to a Brit who's got pounds.
But one thing about research is that you obviously have to test whatever it is that you're researching on. Before
exactly.
you put it up on the market. Yeah. There are several, you know, especially in medicine, they do several trials. I think the final, I'm not sure if it,
COVID
you know,
was the biggest headache of all this, medical trials things because people around
the world. That's when they basically had to fast track things because you didn't have all those 5-10 years of clinical trials for you to write a thesis on, on your findings.
But do you know what was the surprising winner out of that?
Yeah.
The vaccine that I took.
Yeah.
AstraZeneca. The woman, remember the story that I told you, the woman that sat with 20 years of knowledge.
Of knowledge, yeah.
Because she was told, no, work on a polio vaccine. No, work on a malaria vaccine. No, work on a this vaccine and a that vaccine. Now, every time her data set just kept expanding with new knowledge. And when, because she...
COVID-19 came, boom, jackpot.
And all she did was just, okay, what's there? What
in the future, Eagle FM, the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
And welcome back. Just coming up next is another interview type of discussion. But before then, just the time to wrap up something here on Home Run. That's the whole research discussion is one that is requires a lot. Not only requires a lot of brainy people in terms of thinking, but those people, having them is not enough, which it was pointed out, in the discussion that we based, that served as one of our main source of reference, in yesterday's discussion between the EU-AU, research collab. So we have a lot of people, and interesting enough, the gender balance in the, in the field of research in Namibia is almost 50-50. It's a 40-something percent. It's always in 40-something percent female. So it's almost 50-50. Now, having the people with the right, mental inclination of everything sciencey is not enough. They need a lot of money to conduct all those research. First of all, none of them is gonna do for free. I know, I'm not gonna spend 20 years in school just to do things for free. Ain't no way. And also, just stop doing things for free. And also, most importantly, the facilities that are equipped with the state of the art, which is also a fancy way of saying the latest equipments in the field, because, Annually, reports are compiled where they are recording like which institutions are producing the most breakthroughs in terms of research, especially in the fields of science, the STEM field, science and mathematics. They have your medicine and technology. Now, for a very long time, it was, American institutions and, the European institutions like your Oxford, your Yale, your Harvard, your Massachusetts, your MIT, and you have, your Princeton. But the thing is, there's a lot of that coming out of Asia, especially China. As you can imagine, there's a lot of that coming out of Russia. But the thing is, most of the information that we are exposed to Is that coming from the English speaking language, English speaking countries, which is most parts of Europe, No, I wouldn't say most parts. Some parts of Europe, in terms, especially when it comes to English as an official language. And North and South America. But if it's being produced in China, chances are very high it's going to come in Mandarin. That means most of us are not going to be aware of it. So, when it comes to research, the competition is fierce. Fierce. The competition is insane, especially with the multi-polarization taking place, because now it's just going to be hail, well, hallelujah, in terms of, like, the competition has always been fierce in the field of science. In science, but it's about to get even worse. Now, it's not actually unheard of for Africa to start looking in the direction of, you know what, how about we just start, conducting our own research in pretty much everything. And most of the research is done, especially in, unfortunately, in military. That's where most of the science is coming from. Military. Because that's where the lines between morality, legality, sanity, and other T's are actually very questionable. Most of it is coming in, most of it is coming from the, it's coming from the military division. Take the US, for example, have a whole division of, have a whole division, a whole division of military research that, called DARPA. That's your Defense Advanced Research Project, Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. These are the guys that have your technology of tomorrow. Like, the technology you have today, their technology is, let's make it 5-10 years ahead. And it's a, this is a military research institution. And if you look at it, in military research, that's where, again, your microwave comes from. Oh, yeah, that's where your internet comes from. So most of it is going to come from, either in the fields of medicine or, in military. And when you talk about military, we don't manufacture anything, let alone research. Isn't that painful? 12 minutes into the hour of 6, that brings us to the end of what's running in Afrikaans? Hayes Hardloop. Hayes Hardloop. Home run. Man, I nailed it. My Afrikaans is getting better every day. That brings us to the end of Home Run for today, until Monday for Home Run, but of course we're still going to meet again on Sunday, where I'm playing DJ and comedian, and we're going to be making fun of a lot of religions. Don't worry, we'll keep it, we'll avoid mentioning any names. So until then, just have a good weekend, and stay safe, people.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chambi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.